Okay, we're rolling. So here we are. This is the How to Defuse the Divorce Bomb live Q&A call for November 27th, 2019. And glad you guys could make it live. And for those of you who are listening and watching this later, I'm glad you're here too.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to do some introduction, huh?
Yeah, that sounds good. Who wants to just do a little check-in? Who's live with us? Who you are? What's your situation? And how you doing today? There's only two of you, so
sure. Yeah. Go ahead, Don.
I'll go second if I could. I'm about a minute away from my house. I'm gonna be done driving here, so I'll go second if that's all right.
No problem.
All right, Josh. Go ahead, Josh.
I'll go first. Hi, I'm Josh from Denver here in beautiful Colorado. In terms of my situation, 6 or so months ago, my spouse said that about a day after my son moved out after graduating high school, he wanted to do his own thing. She said that she, you know, thought we should take some time. And of course, exactly per the course, I overreacted and went into clinging and kind of full pursuit mode, which I think made things harder and drove things away, at which point she wanted to separate financial assets. That was a fear of hers. I contacted my mortgage broker who had gone through your course and one of your retreats. So that's how I came to hear of you guys.
Oh, who was that?
Calvin Cox out of
Boulder. Calvin.
Oh, okay. Calvin.
Yeah, who's probably in Maui right now, just enjoying.
He's actually in Nevada with family, and we texted the other day.
There's no surfing in Nevada.
No, I know. I try to remind him it's a landlocked state, but you know we can't have everything.
That's funny.
But ups and downs and ins and outs and not finding ground and my desperation and her, not to go through too many details, but I've definitely been the one that's wanted to bring things back together, and she's kind of exploring, and then I hear she's dating and all these things, and it's just been very, very dark.
Yeah. Are you living separately now?
Yes, I'm in the house and have since bought her house half out. We've gone through a mediator to separate everything. I mean, everything was on the fast track, and she was just kind of pushing to maintain her more momentum. I've been doing counseling and traveling the world and just trying to keep moving, to keep breathing. But every time I come home, it's pretty hard.
Yeah.
And how old are you, Josh?
I'm 46.
And you said you had a child who just left for college, and
well, he's changed his mind a few times, but what he decided to do was work the summer and live with a friend down in Centennial. So that was kind of him leaving the nest, at which point I thought we were going to be in honeymoon and mode again and building up, and then she kind of dropped this 2 days later. I feel this is kind of important to share. She said that she had a one-night stand a year ago and that she had been holding on to this. That really, to me, was a huge, huge shot. And I guess all my life, I thought that, you know, there's no way you can come back from something like that. But for some reason, I felt this love and this, you know, willingness and ability that I was willing to kind of see past it. There's a lot of other backstory there, without going into everything, but, here we are, you know, 4.5 months later, and a week or two ago, she shared that, oh, by the way, I actually, you know, I never did have a one night stand. I told you that because I thought I know how you were going to react, and I needed an initial push from, you know, thinking that you were going to be unsafe and off the rails once I told you that, which I wasn't. I was kind of in shock. And granted, for the majority of our 15 years together, I would say I was somewhat emotionally unavailable. just because of how I'm built. Fighter pilot in the Marine Corps, done a lot of cool things in life, a lot of dangerous things, and that's just how I'm put together. And as I've matured here in the past 6 months, I've learned a lot about myself and who I want to be. And yeah, that's the long and short of it.
All right. How far are you into the course, Josh?
I was going at it pretty hard about 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and I couldn't really apply it to my situation because I didn't know what my situation was. Some days I know I'm going to be okay. My job travels quite a bit. I had some trips planned, some friends that I'm seeing, but also I don't have a close network here in Denver. I have like one or two people that I'm close with that I kind of reach out to, but there's a lot of downtime when I'm in Denver. So I'm always trying to get out and continue moving, kind of like a fish, to keep air over my gills. And so I've kind of stopped the course. I tried to pick and choose what I thought I needed based on the headlines of the course. But again, I don't know what applies anymore because I'm still attaching at some level, many levels, too much of my happiness, hopefulness, outlook on what she may or may not decide. I keep trying to come back to the mountain lion and the lazy river, but it's hard to get there. I'm still in the same house that we built together, same bed. You know, people are saying, you got to get out and date and do all these things. I'm not there. I'm not. Anyway.
Thanks for being so open, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. And as we said in the course, at some point, I think at some point, a man has to know so clearly who he is, even if she was abducted by aliens and she was taken off on a spaceship, never to return to your life again. And now you're all alone in this house. Aliens done took her. And now you've got, you got another 40 years to go. You got four more decades, let's say. How do you want to use those decades, Josh?
Good question. It's a very good question.
And I didn't expect you to have a happy answer either, but it's in the answering to that question where we find some comfort that we're going to be even better than okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I there was nothing really further that I wanted to add, except for the fact I think I blame so much of myself. And I know there's two people involved here. But knowing that I've become a better person, a more open person, a better communicating person, the desire or the optimism of wanting that intimacy back so I can, I guess, practice or demonstrate these things that I didn't have before is kind of overwhelming at times. Mm. And that, in terms of, becoming who I am or who I want to be for the next 40 years.
Yeah. Do you have any guilt for having not been this smart 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Join the club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Tim and I have had a number of Army guys, especially fighter pilots, who are now driving buses for Southwest, or they're still in the military. And there's something special about you military guys and also police officers. You guys give. You have so much intensity. And you get so much significance and feedback in what you do. And then as we get older and then we come back into this marriage thing with women, that we do lose a sense of self, and it's tough. And we really empathize with that journey. You were a rock star for a long time, and now you're not feeling like a rock star. Is that true?
That's very accurate. Very accurate.
Now, the interesting thing is that you were just saying, about practicing or being the man you want to be and all that. And my own experience is that I'm a better husband now than I was when I was married. I say jokingly, because I do get to practice with my ex and other people in my life, this, you know, 2.0 version of myself. Do you have just one child?
Yes.
Yeah. Even with just one child, you're going to have a relationship with your wife for the rest of your life, one way or the other.
Well, that's another challenge to the relationship is I should probably say this. This is my second marriage. I had the military issue wife, which was a, you know, learning experience, and I'm better for it, but not near the emotion or ties this. That's where my son, his biological mother, but she kind of went off the rails, and for the most part is, you know, institutionalized down in Texas and kind of out of his life. So that was kind of, but so my current in the process of being ex essentially is his stepmom. And there's a lot of strain on the relationship from that, because she never had legal right, never had any of these things that a mother would have, but yet she took care of him and took him as her own.
And she,
I don't know. Go ahead.
He sees her as his mom, basically.
Yes, for the most part, yes. And I've tried to foster that as much as possible, but I think there might have been a few times in anger at the whole situation where I may have said things in a negative sense to her that I should have never said, but I was hurting and it came from a place of pain.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk to a little bit more about this with you, but I also want to have Don chime in here now that he's looks like he's parked. Either that or he's in a cockpit. I'm not sure. He's got his, I have them too today. Yeah. Headsets on.
Yeah, these are great. They have like 14 hours on the battery. I use them for work. I'm in my driveway. It's warm in Connecticut and day before Thanksgiving, but I'm here. So glad to be on the call. You want me to do just an introduction?
Yeah.
Tell us how you're doing and what's going on. Just so you know, Josh, Don was at a ranch retreat this summer.
Yeah.
And
oh, nice.
So we know quite a bit about Don already.
But the other guys who will be listening to this would probably want to hear. It's always good to know that there's other guys going through the same kind of things.
Yeah. I appreciate you opening up, Josh, and sharing that. It's always good to learn from others and kind of know we're all in the same boat in a lot of regards. Just an introduction. My name is Don Grauer. I'm in Connecticut and miss the horses. I really enjoy Colorado. I'm actually going to see some horses on Friday at the University of Connecticut. I haven't been up there in about 15 years. I'm an alumni. I'm going up there Friday. Probably I offered for my wife to go. No pressure, right? I said, if you want to go, cool. If you don't, that's cool too. But I'm going up there. Weather looks good. But just a quick introduction of who I am. So our relationship, married. The holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving tomorrow. She was going to go see her dad in Florida and ended up not going. He's kind of a mess with his own relationship. He has a fiance and he's got alcohol problems and just kind of a train wreck. And I used to like golfing with him and hanging out with him and stuff like that. But it's just, it's gotten really bad on his end. He's retired and bored and drinks too much, eats too much and all that. So I was going to let my wife do her thing and just stay behind. And it didn't bother me one bit. I'm like, hey, cool. If you want to go, that's awesome. Right. I've been reading a ton. I've been doing a lot of stuff on my own. Just put up Christmas lights in my tree first time in a couple of years outside. Really nice day today. So doing well. She's, and we talk about the weatherman. The weatherman phenomenon is like alive and well, big time, right? I set the tone with things. She's still home. She's sleeping in the guest room, has been for the last couple of months. Very cordial, very friendly. Just for Josh's purposes here, and I guess for those that are going to watch the recording too, about a week ago, week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago, I woke up one morning. She woke me up, and she basically said that she went to go see the divorce attorney. I went with her back over the summer. And she woke me up and said she saw him again and papers are coming. And I actually handled it really well. I think I didn't overreact. I didn't go hummingbird on her. I just said, hey, listen, if that's what you want to do, I get it. And I shared it with Tim and with Steve on the app. We usually can't remember the name of the app right now.
WhatsApp.
Anyway, so I said, hey, listen. Yeah. I said, I love you. I want you in my life. I don't need you in my life. And I kind of set my expectations, what I'm looking to get out of it. So I'm willing to work with you, right? It takes a healthy man to be in a healthy relationship. It takes a healthy man doing a lot of things. She sees it. And I've opened up with her. At first, after the retreat, I didn't share much, right? I kept it pretty close to the vest, trying to live it, act versus words. And then she was still nervous. She kind of got in the spot where she wasn't sure what was going on, and I didn't share that much, and it kind of just freaked her out a little bit. And then I opened up. Steve, I actually wrote The Perfect Day. I read The Perfect Day with her.
Did you?
I sat down on the couch, really just, vulnerable.
Just for just
the cojones and did it.
For guys
and
that are listening.
Nervous.
Don, just a second. Just for guys who are listening.
Yeah,
there's an exercise we do at retreats where we have you write out what would be a perfect day, starting from waking up in the morning till you go to bed at night. It's in perfect meaning, what would be a great day? You know, it's not the one where you become president of the universe and, you know, stuff like that. It's just, what would be a great day? What are the great things you would like to do in an awesome day? So just want to go ahead. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah. So I read that to her. I just had so much peace coming off the retreat and just, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Just making sure with the dial in plus the app here. All right. Excellent. So I read it to her and she teared up. She was nervous and she said, "Hey, you actually had that perfect day." And I said, "I know. And I'm trying to get back there." And I just, so my point in all this is, like, I've been very calm with her. Tomorrow there's Thanksgiving and her mom lives about 20 minutes away. And she kind of mentioned she wanted to go to a local place that serves a good Thanksgiving meal. I said, "All right, cool. Go for it." Right? I didn't invite myself. I wasn't implying or anything like that. I'm just kind of playing it cool. Maybe she invites me. Maybe she doesn't. I'm good. So that's what's going on. I've been doing a lot of reading. I'm trying to watch how much I kind of detach versus actually showing that I give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
Stay plugged in. So I'm watching that balancing act. I'm trying to kind of keep my space, hold her in high regard, be really warm and affectionate and put off, you know, the weatherman type of thing. I'm rambling here a little bit, but that hopefully that gives Tim and Steve, you could probably ask me some questions more of kind of where I'm at, but that's
sure.
In my sense, that's where I am. It's a limbo land. It's a little bit of a crappy spot, but working through it.
Yeah. And just for those
you currently
listening.
Have divorce papers? Oh, sorry, Tim, your internet's coming in and out.
Sorry. What's wrong with it? Go ahead.
What? You're kind of frozen.
I don't want to
so
be
anyway,
frozen.
Don, do you have divorce papers in front of you now, Don, or is that?
No. Neither do I. I don't want to be frozen. No, I don't. So, Steve, she mentioned that day, and other than getting woken up by it, it didn't really rattle me. I kind of got to, like, an inner peace with all this stuff and been working on it and calming down a lot. Like, I guess you can say I'm out of line. And then the papers never came. I was ready for them. I was going to honor it. I was going to sign it and give it back to her. I wasn't going to hold her back. I don't want to, you know, hold her hostage and vice versa. But the papers never came. I think she probably called off the attorney. I never heard anything about it. I never asked and never kind of
never
went there.
Never said anything. Okay. Yeah.
No, I don't know where, I don't know
this
where to go
with it. This happens all the time, though.
I just let
this
a sleeping dog
all the
lie.
Time. The shot across the bow. I called the lawyer. The papers are coming. And it's almost like, you know, I had a one-night stand. No, I didn't. It's all these little shock things to see. Who are you? Who the hell are you these days? And trust
the guys on the Facebook group kind of talking about the different stages that they're in. You know, first it's kind of like shock and awe, and you're like, what's going on? I live that. And then with the papers coming, it's like a normal person maybe at 1.0 would freak out. I was just like, maybe, I said, I'll actually go pick them up. If that's really what you want to do, I get it. I understand that. It's not, I want to work on it, but that's, I want to honor your wishes at the same time.
And why does that make a woman stop the process when a man does that? Why do you think that is?
I don't know how to articulate it. Like, I know just an inner peace knowing that I'm doing, you hear this all the time, but I'm living it. You know, working on yourself. I truly know that, and I'm at peace with everything. And it's how I show up, right? Jay Decker was talking about that the other day on WhatsApp. It's how I show up, and I want to be at peace the way I show up. And if it goes that way, I want to be on the right trajectory no matter what, right? With or without.
I think it has – am I still frozen, by the way?
No, you're doing better.
Okay, I'm doing better. It's cold here. I think that part of the reason that happens is because – look, all humans have, mood swings, so to speak. And sometimes they're like, you know, in small increments. You feel one way, and then all of a sudden 15 minutes goes by and you feel another way. And, you know, it's the nature of the way our thoughts create our, you know, inform our emotions, and our thoughts can be all over the map. Now, you then put a woman who's suffering or in turmoil and crisis, and she's having these kind of flip-flops all the time. Yeah. It's like what you said, Josh. It's like, oh, I lied about an affair or a one-night stand because that would have given me the resistance with you if you had wigged out so that I would have the confidence to...
You're breaking up again, Tim.
Yeah.
I'm going to sign back in and see what happens.
Yeah, I think...
Or maybe take your video off. Maybe just take the video off.
Steve, to answer your question, as he's working through the technical difficulties there, I think as I thought about it, and Tim was hitting on it a little bit, I think it's a protective mechanism, like a protection thing that happens. And she knows she needs to protect herself, and she saw this path coming. Maybe the time bomb was going off for a while, and then she kind of saw, and she didn't understand kind of the things I was doing. I wasn't sharing. I probably should have shared a little bit more. And I think she went into protective mode. Yeah. And now she's like, holy crap, you know, maybe this is a safe spot. Maybe I can kind of let my guard down a little bit and start to open up again. I think that's what's happening.
Right.
How long has this process been going on, Don?
Yeah, great question. So I don't know where to begin. Right. She was in grad school for 2-3 years, and she really drifted. I was in the middle of an acquisition for work over the last 18 months, give or take. So just two worlds started to pull apart. Over the summer, it got really bad after May when she was graduating. She basically didn't even invite me to her graduation, and I asked her. And I think she was testing me along the way. The summer was really, really bad. That was the darkest of the dark. And now I feel like inch by inch, right? Al Pacino said the best, game of inches. I think I'm slowly crawling back inch by inch, day by day.
So well over a year this has been going on, right?
Over a year, and probably brewing even before a year plus, prior to the year.
What about you, Josh? How long do you say you've been in this process of whatever you want?
You know, based on what I'm told and based upon what I actually had the eyes and ears to, you know, witness, she kind of dropped it in, beginning of July. And said that she had been going through something, you know, internally for almost a year, to which apparently I didn't see and wasn't paying attention. There's a number of reasons that I own that. But I think that's why she was further down the road mentally and emotionally. And I've been playing catch up at the speed of heat, but I'm still kind of behind. So I don't, you know, 6 months for me, essentially.
Okay. We've had Kevin Dills join us since we started. Kevin, we're doing an introduction. So Josh is on the phone. You see Don from the retreat. Kevin was at the ranch retreat. There's my puppy. I'll mute until he shuts up. So Kevin, give us a little status and intro of where you are these days.
Things aren't too bad. We're getting along. There's no fighting going on, which we really haven't fought in a long time. After the retreat, first couple weeks was pretty good. And then all of a sudden, some shit seemed to start a little bit. She seemed like it was more, though, directed at the girls. A lot of anger was coming out with her. And, I tried not, I didn't take it personally, which was great. I did real well with that. I did put a little pressure because I'm like, hey, you know, there's better ways of doing things here. And I know how the girls, they've talked to me and how when she reacts like that, it's, you know, I try to deal with it a little bit. And I pressured a little bit, but I backed off. You know what I mean? I just sort of, how would you want to say it? I just said some, you know, said my piece, and then that was it. So I sort of let her go for a while. And then just finally, I would say within the last couple weeks here, I'm starting to set some boundaries with her on how she talks to me. The minute she gets a little snippy with me or, you know, wants to, you know, call me an idiot or do something like that, it's right away I'm like, you know what, this ain't going to happen.
Can you give us a play-by-play? Tell us how the script went on a recent example. How, what did it look like, and how did you actually do it? Stand up.
It was last night. We were talking a little bit. She started to go off about the girls, obviously, with Thanksgiving, and, you know, these, the girls, their bathroom's a mess and this and that. So I let her go off. I just sat there. I listened to her, and then she went and did a couple things, and she came back in the room, and I go, "Can I talk to you a second?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I go, I came right out and said, I go, because she does, she's not looking in the mirror much. I mean, a little bit, she's turning it a little bit, you know, and then she'll get pissed, and then she'll just, I let her go, you know. So I says, "I want to talk to you a minute." I go, "Obviously, you're not happy with the way the bathroom, you know, the girls' bathroom is." I go, "But," I go, "do you see that the girls aren't, this isn't, I'm doing it, I guess how I want to say it is that I learned not to take things personal." And I asked her, I go, "Why do you take that mess in the bathroom so personal?" I go, "The girls aren't doing it to piss you off." I go, "It's, they're not, that's not their thing." I go, "They're just teenage kids, you know?" And she actually was talked calm. She didn't jump in my face. And she explained a few things, and, you know, I think it was how she was brought up that, you know, she's likes a clean bathroom. She goes, "To me, it's disgusting. If I have to, you know, go into a bathroom, I'm not going to use, and it's, you know, all screwed up. I'm not using that bathroom." So it's something with her, but she takes it so personal that it's, and she's done it with me in the past. If I did something stupid, it's against her. That's what I'm seeing with her. Instead of me, and, you know, in the past, over the summer, instead of me taking all the brunt and saying, you know, thinking it's about me, I'm now thinking, well, you know what? I'm seeing this isn't about me. This is about what you're feeling and, you know, how it is. So she said something to me, and she's got into me a little bit saying, "Well, I know you're getting all better and everything like that." And she, this, well, that was actually 2 days ago. And I said, "Listen, that's uncalled for. You don't have to do that." And she sort of shut right down. She didn't shut down, but she just shut her mouth. And then I just let her go. And then probably like 15 minutes later, she was all good and all happy. Last night, she did something. We were talking about the girls. And then right away, she said, I said something or did something. And she goes, "You know, that's pretty stupid of you." And I says, "You know what? That is completely uncalled for." I go, I am not gonna do this if you're gonna be like that." And she apologized right away.
She didn't call you thin skin. She didn't call you a big baby or anything like that.
No. I'm definitely seeing that I'm, you know, stepping up and setting these boundaries.
You're setting a standard, right? And in addition to boundaries, you're just setting a bar for a higher standard of expectation of how you treat her and how she treats you. You have a higher standard for the relationship itself, and you're asking her to join you there. And that can offend some women, especially if you don't have a long history of being that good.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck are you, Kevin Dills?
Right? Just
I used to be like that in the beginning, and then, oh, man, it was, you know, I fell into the trap. There's no question about it. So this is definitely something she's hasn't seen in a long time. And I wouldn't say I'm 100% outcome independent. But before I say these things, I think that I'm like, well, you know what, whatever. If she's going to get pissed off, she's going to get pissed off. I'm not going to be treated like that, you know. So it's, I definitely feel, you know, it's definitely more of an emotional, just a flat plane now. You know what I mean? It's, there's no, I'm not this up and down. She is, you know, but I'm not.
A couple, just recently, my ex on the phone told me that I was a fucking arrogant asshole, and at which point I said, okay, I need to stop this conversation now, so let's talk about this later. And I hung up.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I dealt with a lot of my own process after that, but the point is, this is not the first time that she's done this, and I just have to be consistent till some point she's going to realize this doesn't work. You know?
Yeah. I just got done, and I think the thing that helped me, I just got done reading that Why Women Test Men.
Oh, did you?
I just got done reading that, and wow, when I think back of all the little things that she did, and I didn't step up and, you know, take care of things. There was actually, I think it was one of those days. It was a while back when they tell you when they're poking the bear. And she started poking the bear. It was probably a week or two ago. And in the book, they tell you they're looking for, you know, that masculine coming out of you. They, you know. So she poked the bear a little bit. We were down in the kitchen, and I sort of stepped up and say, hey, we're not going to do this here. And then about 10 minutes later, I went up in the bedroom, and she was petting the dog that was laying on the bed. And she started to pull her yoga pants down. They were like halfway down, and she was petting the dog. I'm like, this is perfect timing. I grabbed her by the shoulders, and I threw her face down on the bed, and I just, like, leaned into her, thrust my hips into her, and just, you know, was up behind her, and she slid right into that. Unfortunately, I couldn't finish the job because my son had just walked in the house. Our bedroom door was wide open. And I reached up to her when I heard my son come, and I says, to be continued. But it's like she poked the bear, and instead of taking it personal, I turned around and gave it back to her. And she was with it. She was with it. That's for sure, which surprised me.
Yeah, that's awesome, Kevin. I mean, that's it, you know. And also, because we talked yesterday in another men's group about self-respect, and ultimately, she's going to respect that you have self-respect. In other words, if you say no, you're not going to call me stupid. Now you can say, that seems like a dumb thing to do. Maybe it's different than you're stupid, whatever your boundary is, or me saying, no, you don't call me a fucking asshole. If I didn't have that boundary and do it cleanly, somewhere inside, she's going to internalize, he doesn't have self-respect. Mm-hmm. He doesn't think very much of himself. He's going to allow that, even though she'll act pissed off that I'm, you know, stopping. Having the boundary, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Teenage girls are the same way. When teenage girls have dads correct them or call them out on something, they immediately attack dad. But they love the fact that he set a boundary. They love the fact he's not a pushover. But they're not going to let him know that they love that fact.
They don't love it in the moment, that's for sure.
You guys were talking about, like, how long everybody's been going through this. Well, mine started in July of 18. That was the first time she mentioned she wanted a separation. So now we're, what, a year and a half later, almost? Obviously that the first 6 months was just sort of going back and forth. And then when I started watching the videos and stuff like that, and then finally joined the group, there's a big difference now from when it was, you know, a year and a half ago. I mean, there's no mention of her right now. Of divorce or separating or anything like that. You know, I definitely know that she has work that she has to do if, you know, we will continue down this path, because there was a few times she did something and I'm just like, I'm not going to live like this. I go, this is not going to work for me. So, but I'm giving her time, giving her space, you know, if I see the tries, you know, we'll just let it go.
That's cool. Hey, Josh, were you trying to get a word in when you, I heard you trying to say
something? Negative. Negative. Not. Great story, though.
Yeah, it's a great story. It's somebody from Springfield, Illinois, Erico 217. Come on, I'll unmute you. Who's joined us?
Yeah, it's Bruce Shep calling. I've been listening for a while.
Cool. Welcome, Bruce.
Glad you're here, man.
Yep. I'm supposed to be going to Mexico, so.
Oh. To see yes. Tim and I?
What's that?
To see Tim and I?
Yeah.
Yes, that's going to be great. Looking forward to it.
What do you mean supposedly?
Well, I paid my down payment, so now I got to pay. Oh, on that, we have to get our own plane tickets.
Yeah. Right. We sent an email out. It's spring break down there, so you may want to get airfare pretty quickly. But yeah, you need to get your own airfare into Puerto Vallarta, which is airport code PVR.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It always is. Oh man. Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, I was just going to say, can you give us a little, if you can give us a little introduction for all of those listening out there in Divorce Bomb Land?
Me?
Yeah, yeah, Bruce. Yeah.
Yeah, Springfield, Illinois. I've been doing a lot of this self-study in Todd Schramm and Gil Martinez and Brendan. What's his last name? Have been doing some stuff just talking to each other on the side. My situation is odd. It's a little different. But so my wife and I have been separated for 15 months in different houses. I have finally emotionally got to the point where I just kind of just let go of the rope. And a lot of that had to do with watching the video with the horse in the pen. Mm. Opening the gate and letting it go. She comes back. If not, she doesn't. I'm there. I do have a path going forward. It's been a long time. It's my birthday today.
Oh!
And this
happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
49 today. This marks the 2-year point of no sex for me to the day. So, her and I have a business together. We run together. She's kind of seen a couple guys over the past couple years. But we have two kids together and I have another daughter. You know, there's like, she's got her issues. The last phone call, I asked Steve about narcissism and stuff. He didn't go into it too much. But I've done a lot of study. I'm going to counseling once a week with a counselor. And basically, I'm at a point where I'm reading the Success and Failure book right now. Pretty heavy. But it makes a lot of sense how codependent I was. Even though I didn't know it. And basically taking care of my own emotions, you know, happiness and anger, all the stuff from within. Noticed a lot of things about her, whether she's a narcissist or not. She has a lot of childhood issues and control issues and stuff like that. So I've accepted the situation at this point. Me and her and the two kids are doing Thanksgiving tomorrow, and we're going on a trip to Florida after Christmas that I took the initiative and scheduled, but I proved her to it's expensive, you know, it'll cost a few grand too. And so basically I don't care what she does at this point. I'm kind, I'm nice, I don't put up with her shit, and I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It's been very unmoving for about 2 years since before she even moved out. So I am planning on doing that trip to, you know, letting the holidays go by, doing that trip to Florida, coming back. I have some military duty I got to go away for a couple weeks in January, and then in February I'm going to file. Because I don't see my kids enough. I'll see my kids a lot more if we're divorced.
Oh, wow.
And
why aren't you seeing your kids enough now?
Why don't I?
Yeah, now.
Because I'm not going to fight with her.
Oh. How old are the kids?
Our two kids are 9 and 6. I just went to my son's, I just got, the reason I was late on the call, I just went to my son's school. He had an invention convention thing. I was there till 2, and then I took him to her house. And then I jumped on the phone on my drive home. I just pulled into my driveway. Gotcha. But I'll see him tomorrow. I'm in a funny situation where my wife is, she's very paranoid. I have a 15-year-old daughter I have joint custody of from a previous relationship. Who she doesn't want the little ones to see her at all. She's not a bad kid, but there's a potential for her to expose them to more adult things than she thinks that she should, or they should be exposed to, which my daughter doesn't do that to them. She's a great sister, and they ask about her all the time. But there's definitely issues there, and that's another reason why I'm going to file, because they don't spend it. Almost no time together at all.
Okay.
It's just, she's not doing the right thing, and there's no way for me to get around it besides getting a court order. I don't see it changing. Whether our relationship works out, me and her, or not, I don't know. I don't really care at this point. I do want something more, something more stable for my children. So, I don't know. She doesn't poke at me or anything anymore. She actually liked a Facebook post today of mine that she hasn't liked a Facebook post of mine in, like, 2 years. And I'm basically, like I said, I let the rope go, and she's like, she doesn't know what the hell to do because I'm emotionally stable at this point. I'm done with the bullshit.
Emotionally.
She's played on my emotions the whole time, and she knew it. She even told me she knew it, which is an illness. I've done a lot of reading on how to deal with what's called a covert narcissist, and it's working. She is that. She just is. She's look at how kind I am to everybody. If she doesn't get any credit, she gets pissed and yells and screams, and you're like, what the hell's wrong with you? You know what I mean? So going through this process, that type of a personality doesn't make sense to anybody. And it really takes a long time to understand it and how to deal and how to cope with it. I'm talking to everybody else. And what they say, I don't see that type of dynamic with their wives or their ex-wives or whatever, the dynamic I have to deal with.
We've got tons of guys with wives with borderline personality disorder, bipolar. It's rough. Even perimenopausal disorder causes alien behavior, so it's tough.
Yeah, so, and that's where it's at. And, I put on my phone, I changed her name on my phone to Opportunity. And basically, I'm at the point where I'm about 98% healed from her. And this is my opportunity to get myself 100%, but before I file and just be a totally independent person in all aspects. You just have to be. I mean, nothing she does at this point is a factor in my decision-making, outside of making sure they have enough to get by on, her and the kids and everything like that.
You said, Bruce, that you asked, whether or not you stay together. It sounds like you're pretty clear that you're done. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see, if she came back today and said, hey, we need to work this out, I laid this down to her a couple months ago. I said, she goes, why haven't we filed? I go, I'll file, but I want to go to counseling with you first to you have an agreement on what the best thing to do going forward is, regardless of whether we're divorced or not. And she won't go. So I just left it there. Took my stand, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't foresee us staying together, and that's okay. You know what I mean? Like Steve said, I'll be fine. Matter of fact, I'm more fine now than I have been in a long time.
you sound pretty fine. You sound very, very clear.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm about 98%. I still have those emotional roller coasters, but they cycle. It takes about 30 minutes to cycle versus 3 days.
Yep.
And I'll lay down and meditate, you know, and just take deep breaths and go, you're good, you know. And you can't help that shit overcomes you. It's just practicing letting it cycle and then getting back up on your feet.
No, Bruce, that is the very definition of resilience. That's what resilience is. It's the how long does it take you to get back to center or back in your lane after a breakdown, you know? And if it used to be 2-3 days, now it's, you know, 30 minutes. That's an amazing accomplishment. And I hope you feel good about that. It sounds like you do.
No, I do. I'm getting very clear. I just bought some tickets to the Post Malone concert I'm going to go to. I'm going to go to Mexico. You know, there's like, my problem is, and actually Steve helped me through this a little bit where, one of my nuts was I don't believe in divorce. And Steve wrote me an email back and said, I understand that but you need to think about the opportunities you have by being divorced. You know, and I'm doing a lot of this homework on, you know, marriage is a state of mind. She's not there. It's just papers, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all this bullshit. It's so true. We're not married now. He just got me by the balls a little bit because we have paperwork there. We still have a marriage license. So yeah. I just need to do it. I just need to be done with it. I got to get my hang up, my nut. I got to change that nut, which I kind of just.
There's a way to phrase it. The phase that I see you in, Bruce, is the phase that says, what I am done with is this version of my life, this version of myself, and this version of my marriage. You're leaving many doors open to possibility to change, which is opportunity. I like that name, by the way. Sounds like a dancer. Here comes opportunity. Put your hands together.
Right. It reminds me. Every time I get a text from her, this is my opportunity to play it right, to be on my own, to be self-sufficient. I mean,
love it.
to get to that 100%.
But it sounds like you're also loving her differently. I mean, using the word love loosely here, you're treating her differently and more lovingly now than before.
Yeah, I don't have any expectations of her, but I'll take care of her. You know, if she needs anything, I'll be there for her, but I don't expect anything in return. Nothing. Zero. I expect nothing from her, not one thing.
Well, that's pretty.
So I'm never. I'm never disappointed then, and I don't have any anger toward her or anything. I feel sorry for her because she's got. I believe she has a mental disorder, and she won't address it.
Yep.
So, and I feel bad for her, but there's nothing I can do. Only she can. I know that.
There's
nothing to do to change her.
No, you can't. You can't. You're absolutely right, and it's good to release yourself of that burden. I know how many of us have carried that around, that feeling of like, if only I could change this person, everything would be great. And the realization that not only is it not appropriate to try to change someone else, it's really not, it's taking away their own dignity, really, and saying, I'm better, I know better than you, and I can fix you. That's the rescuer, right? Instead, realizing, I'm also not able to, I don't have the power to change this other person. Which is
you don't. Matter of fact, you change it for the worse if you try.
Yeah. You may have some influence sometimes, but you can't change someone else. And there's a theme here.
The only influence I found I have is if she asks me. That happened about a month ago. She asked. We were talking, and I said, "You know, I'm just working on my. I'm just doing what I got to do." And I go, "There's plenty of things I think you can work on, but it's not my lane to tell you." And she's like, "Whoa, you know," and I actually told her because she asked. She said, well, tell me what you think I can work on. Okay. And I told her, she's really negative, and that's a trait of a narcissist, and they put you in lose-lose. It's all this bullshit. And I said, she told me, and that was on a Friday, she told me on Monday, she goes, I spent all weekend thinking about that. I was like, huh, that's weird. But maybe it'll help. Maybe it'll help her heal herself.
Maybe.
I'm there for what I think, but at the same time, I have no desire to tell her if she doesn't ask, because it only makes it worse.
Yep, you got it. Because anytime, if you ever have the illusion that you change someone, it is an illusion. Even because if they changed because of something you told them or didn't, you know, whatever, it's because they saw for themselves that this was something to do, and they did it. They changed themselves. That's the only way that ever happens. And yeah, there's times when you can actually help facilitate. That's what I mean by influence. You may help facilitate that if they ask, if they're willing, if they're open-minded. But otherwise, you know, it's a fruitless and it's torture. You know,
it's torture. You're gonna kill yourself on the inside trying.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce, or anybody else on here, before we go to our questions, let me ask a question. Does anybody here have any gratitude for the pain that they've suffered to get to this point? Do they have any thanks to their wife for at least pulling the curtain back on the bullshit that you needed to fix yourself?
There's definitely reflection. I'll just answer first, then you guys can go. There's definitely reflection in that aspect. And just for the rest of the guys in the group, my finish, I was driving, I had duty last week. I was driving home from duty, and I was loathing coming home to this town and dealing with her. And I came to an epiphany where I'm just like, I'm done. You know what I mean? I am done. So I am right now charting a course going forward for myself, going to visit one of my islands, like Steve talks about. And I'm letting that, our company, I'm done with the company. I have tons of skills, tons of abilities, I'm a colonel in the Army, in the reserves. I'm a real estate managing broker. I'm a contractor by trade. I got so much opportunity. I've just been held myself back. And I got to let that go. I was in the company with her for the family, just to, you know, just keep us all as a unit. And it's no longer there. So I'm, from now until I file, I am charting a brand new course for myself. I am there.
I love it. So. I love it. And yeah, and to my point, sometimes we need to thank those who poked us in the eye to help us realize that, even if it's a wife who's narcissistic.
Yeah, who else wants to answer that question?
Yeah, Kevin, you're the best.
I have thanked my wife, that's for sure. There's no question about it. I was actually, I think it was just yesterday, I was texting with Jonathan back and forth a little bit. And I says, it's amazing what we go through, but it's too bad we have to get a kick in the balls to get to that point. And Jonathan replied back, that kick was a gift. And I says, you're right. It was. It was truly, you know, if my wife wouldn't have said it, what she said to me that day, that one day it would be in January, I wouldn't be here right now. There's no question about it. No question about it. You know, I guess it just, you know, it took that for me. You know, I wonder what it would take for my wife for her to, you know, turn that mirror. I'm not worried about it, but you know what I mean? It took that much for me to finally say, holy shit, you know? I finally turned the mirror, you know, it was a good thing.
Great. Well, Don, did you want to say something? I saw you lower your microphone.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, how are you? Yeah. I think about, I've had a major wake up call, even that video the other day on the Facebook group about the female. And Tim, you had some comments on there too, where she was talking about like the woman's perspective, and that just stopped me in my tracks big time. Right. So I'm thankful for having a wake-up call. I get tunnel vision way too often in a good way, just very focused with work. I get consumed. I just like slave over, I really give it all I have, and it's done me really well. But then I've had a chance to share with her, and I'm thankful that she listens when I told her, and I told one of our executives, like, hey, my wife's my number one priority right now. because I've been doing so much for the company. And I said, she's my number one priority. And I even told my wife, you know, put my passwords on my computer, was focus priority number one. And it was about her. And I told her all these things. I even said, like, hey, my biggest fear ever is losing you. But this was a while back. Now, it still is a fear, but I'm okay regardless. But I've had a chance to open up with her, and I haven't had a chance to do that. I don't think I've ever done that, ever. And I'm thankful for the opportunity with her to give me that chance. And I got to play the long game is my situation. I really, really got to play the long game. And I'm just trying to get first downs, right? I'm just trying to get yardage. But I'm thankful for all that. And a lot of the content has woken me up big time.
Wow. That's great.
I just had something flash on my screen. Josh, did you just sign up for the Mexico retreat?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've been meaning to do that. And I was meaning to join the last one, but I've been traveling so much, so I'm putting this one down, yeah.
Well, I have a blurb that came on my screen that just said I had an email from Josh. That's funny. That's fantastic. So you get to meet, you know, Bruce is a colonel, and you're a fighter pilot. I don't know what you, it doesn't matter what your rank is, but it's cool to have military guys there.
I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah.
That's great.
Bruce, did you know that you've got a USMC guy on our group here?
No, but my job is at US Transcom. I work with flyboys all the time. AMC, US Transcom. I mean, he knows what we do.
So, cool. Well, now great. You get to meet each other. I'm thrilled. That just makes me happy.
Steve and Tim, one other thing. I just want to, I'll go back on mute here in a moment. Just want to, this is probably where I could use the most help from the group is you talk about all you can focus on is between now and going to bed. You know, you focus on first things first, one day at a time type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I focus on that. But I'm trying to get the clarity like every day. I'm literally in a game of inches. You know, maybe I'll get a yard every now and then, maybe a foot. I'm good with that, right? Truly a long game. But where I probably need the most support, input, guidance, commentary, and feedback is how do you live in that zone, right? You want to kind of open up. You want to have these little mini wins. But how do you operate in that zone, right? I'd rather have a 50-yard pass. I use these football analogies. Don't ask me why. But I'd rather get some big, big plays. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get little by little and have that discipline and that patience while I'm doing it.
Yeah. I'll go first. We know this is one of the biggest problems. And as high achievers and high performers, we like the Hail Mary passes. We love the big plays. Mm-hmm. But in romance, sex, and marriage, there's no such thing. And when it comes to your own personal development, I mean, getting to the mindset that Bruce was talking about, getting into that sense of clarity, it can happen like in a flood, but it's only after many, many, many innings or downs or whatever. And you can't do it without these men. I know sometimes in the military, it's your lone wolf up there in the cockpit. And part of the answer to your question is you have to stay engaged constantly. Force yourself to stay engaged with men who are doing this work, to continually to be reminded of who you are, how you want to be. And remember that the measurement, the scoreboard itself, it does not have your wife's name on it. It has nothing to do with her. And
there you go.
So it's like this phone call, right? We're here for 90 minutes and you get a shot in the ass. And then there's a half-life to that. That shot in the ass starts to decay right after we hang up. So you got to get back together and you got to make sure if you want to get in on that tribe with Bruce and Todd and Gil and Brendan, you should say so and give yourself more opportunity, because that's the secret in my mind to answer your question. Tim, how would you answer?
The way I'd answer that is that two things. The two gifts of yes, you only have today, you know, is that you can try to get the worry out of your head about tomorrow. The other one is tomorrow morning is like scene one, take two. It's a do-over in a way. You always get a new opportunity, I think, every morning. You get a reset, you know, or at least you can look at it that way. The other thing is that I don't think that the wins – ultimately they need to be about you and your wins, not your wins with her. Now, if there are wins with her, then awesome, great. But the ones to be looking for. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, that's just like frosting on the cake, right? I mean, Steve, you both said it. Steve, when you said like the scoreboard, and we're talking about sports analogies, I don't know, just Thanksgiving football's on, whatever. I don't always talk about sports analogies, but even when you said it, it's like, hey, the scoreboard doesn't have her on it. It's about you. It's not. It's that. That struck me like a bolt of lightning.
That's it.
Personally, for me, I mean, I started feeling better when I stopped giving a shit. When I just said, you know what? Fuck this. I care, but it's not, it's a completely different type of care. You know, it's like a care coming from love. And it's just, when I just stopped and just said, who gives a fuck? Things seem to get better. Now I'm not afraid to put, you know, some boundaries up. I'm not afraid to do that. And you know,
grab her ass in the bedroom.
Exactly. Exactly. I used to be the type of guy, I got to have a few beers to get out on the dance floor because I'm, you know, afraid to look like an idiot. I'm uncomfortable. And I always told her, I says, you know what? I'd like to learn to dance. I like country dancing. So I found something online the other day where they teach you at home. I mean, it costs a couple bucks. And I had showed her, I don't know, it was yesterday or the day before. And I says, I told you I wanted to learn to dance. I go, I just need a partner. So, you know, in the next few days, we'll probably be doing something with that. But it's just like, I just stopped giving a shit, you know, and stopped worrying about the freaking relationship. And it just, things turned, you know. I'm not saying it's 100%. There's work to do, but I feel better. It was about, you know, about what I was going through, not what she was going through.
Yeah. I think we say that in the course. I think we say that one of the measuring stick is, how do you feel about yourself? How do you feel? Is like, you know, you're making progress and you're doing it right when you feel more pleased with the way you're showing up, not how does she feel about me or what is she, how is she reacting? Yeah.
That was a thermometer.
Yeah. And also,
I think
go ahead, Bruce.
It's a fuck it, not fuck her.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Say absolutely. Yes.
You can't act out of anger. My wife acted out of anger, and her life sucks right now, and mine's getting better, and she doesn't know what to do. I can't help her, but you can't act out of anger. That's why I waited so long to file, because I was sad, frustrated, and angry. I never wanted to make a decision until I had that clarity, that 100%.
That's great.
I see the same thing with my wife. I see her anger, you know, and it's, you know, it's like, I've been there. But she could be as angry as she wants, and I'm fine. You know what I mean? You just
don't make her anger yours. Absolutely.
I just wrote down "fuck it, not fuck her," Bruce. I think that's
perfect. I wrote it down too.
Yeah.
Hey Josh, I heard Josh trying to get a word in edgewise there. Did you have something to add?
Go ahead.
No, I did not. I appreciate you checking in, but no, I have not offered anything.
Okay.
In the last 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so that we have, the original theme, so to speak, of this call was just talking about the holidays since Thanksgiving's coming up. We're absolutely glad to go with the flow and what you guys want and need to talk about. But we did have a question that came in from one of our home viewers about holidays. And so I think I just want to throw it open to asking, why don't you bring up the question and we can deal with that, Steve, so we don't run out of time. And then also throw it out to the rest of you guys on the line. You know, what do you have planned for Thanksgiving? A couple of you already said what you were doing. And how do you foresee any challenges emotionally or whatever around the weekend? So, Steve, do you have that question in front of you?
I do. The question was very simple. It was around the holidays. And he said, okay, let's say you're separated and your wife wants space to heal and figure herself out. So you only send her text or emails about business stuff. Should you then not say happy Thanksgiving in an email or a text to her and give her the space to initiate that instead? If she wants, of course, without expecting it. Or should you be the one to initiate the happy Thanksgiving greeting? Same with your adult son or daughter who's ignored your text for months. So the basic question is, if you want to say happy Thanksgiving to people who are saying they are kind of want space from you. Should you say Happy Thanksgiving? And so let's see how our apprentice coaches do here on this call.
Yeah, this applies to Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Anniversary, you know, all whatever those, you know, birthday. Yeah.
So let's don't take forever to coach this guy. But Kevin, give me a couple, three sentences. How would you answer the question?
If you're expecting her to say it back, then I wouldn't say it. I mean, don't say it. If you truly feel that you want to say Happy Thanksgiving, then fuck it, say it.
Fuck you know? Say it. Okay, cool. Don.
I would say go for it, right? Think about how you show up. I would just do it. What do you got to lose? I would lean in, say it short and sweet, no emotion, just very Happy Thanksgiving. That's it. I would do it.
Cool. Bruce.
I say, just I go along with Kevin, don't ever do or say anything and expect anything back. Do the right thing, but you have to get to the point where you don't expect anything ever.
Agree.
Josh.
Same. No expectations. If you feel it in the moment, send Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It sounds like we could all get into groupthink here where, oh, yeah, let's say that's the right answer. It may be a right answer at some point to not say anything, especially if a woman had said, I don't want you to text me. I don't want you to ring me. I don't want to hear from you. In fact, every single time you try to contact me, the only thing I feel is fear and anxiety. So don't do it. In that case, you shouldn't fucking do it because she's been very, very clear that she doesn't want that. But in almost any other case, I would agree with what you guys said. If you want to say Happy Thanksgiving, Happy Birthday, Good Morning, you can. But be aware of how you're being when you do it. Be aware whether you're coming from anxiety, desperation, or a needy little place where you need her to go, oh, thank you, Happy Thanksgiving back.
Right. And it's like if you can, the sentence is, are you doing it in order to fill in the blank, in order to get what, you know? And if you can say, oh, I'm doing it because this is the type of person I am and I enjoy doing this and I'd like to share some greetings, great. But if it's in order to get something, create something, manipulate something, whatever, then you're going to be screwed.
So fooling them.
And you're probably never going to get what it is you think you're after. You may even get the opposite.
What was that comment you made, Bruce?
Oh, it was Don. I just said there's no fooling them, right? They're going to be able to see your intention.
Yeah.
You can't expect anything ever in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I know you're very emphatic about that, and I do agree with you, but, you know, there is a valid question, and that's Jesus. Is not a marriage a place where two people go to have some basic level of expectation of shared values for consideration and thoughtfulness and love and affection? Is that too much to ask, Bruce? For Christ's sake, why can't I expect that?
Well, it's the mentality that you have to go into it because you're going to be disappointed if you don't. Because you're not, you may get it, you may not, but if you're 100% with yourself on the inside, you don't need it.
Yeah. And I would say when you're 100% on the inside, you can give it. When you're 100%, you can actually give those things.
You can give it and you don't need anything back. What the 100% means.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's that icing on the cake again.
It's great to get it, but you expect anything, you're just going to be disappointed.
It causes resentment is what it ends up causing.
It really does. It causes tons of resentment.
One of the biggest things we hear from wives complaining about husbands and the way he always is, they use words like he has this sense of entitlement and he has this sense of expectation and deservingness that I'm supposed to do all this stuff to make him happy, whether it's blowjobs or sex or cooking for him. And so a lot of women get gripped by the idea that this man is controlling her by having this high level of expectation or entitlement that she should be a certain way. Now, whether or not it's a good marriage value or not, the feeling that women have is a sense of being controlled through his constant sense of entitlement.
Yep, yep. It's like there was an old joke Pee Wee Herman had on his show where he said he was complaining, saying, it's not like you expect anything in return, but then you don't get anything in return, like nothing. I always laughed about that. It's like, I've been that way before. So in the time we have left, I just want to, is anyone on the line going to be alone for Thanksgiving? Y'all got plans? Everyone's got plans of some sort?
I'm kind of in that situation, Tim, where there's daughter, mother-in-law, or I'm sorry, like, I'll think about her perspective, but my wife and my mother-in-law, they're doing something tomorrow. I might be included. I might not.
Okay.
I'm not gonna raise my hand and invite myself. Right. I'm like, hey, that sounds great. Go for it. You know, that's a great spot. You guys are gonna have fun, and I'm leaving it at that. So I may be, and I'm completely cool with it. I'm actually leaning towards a position of like, hey, not go. Let them have their mom and daughter time. So I might fall in that category. I don't know yet.
All right, but you're pretty cool with it, because you know.
Yeah, I'm not down and out about it one bit. It's not weighing on me. It just, I'm more kind of vacillating between like, how do I engage? Do I do anything? But then I'm staying in my lane, staying the course, and like, hey, cool, go for it. If I get an invite, that's awesome. But if I don't, I'm not going to lose sleep on it at the same time.
Have you been through Thanksgiving separated? Or?
Yeah, I have before. Okay. One time, yeah, she went to go see her dad years ago, and I didn't go. I just like, hey, I'm not going. There's too much drama. Talk about drama triangle. I passed.
Right.
So yeah. I'm not like sweating it one bit.
It's interesting that you know, when you're divorced or you're separated, you always have that first Thanksgiving, that first Christmas, that first birthday, that first, you know, that you have to go through in a different situation, whether it's alone or whatever. And once you get through that once, you go, oh, I didn't die. In fact, it wasn't as bad as I even thought it might have been. And that helps. That can help a lot, because ultimately, on one hand, yes, it's meaningful, but it's also just another day. I mean, it really is. And that's not like a mind trick. That's just, it really is just another day, and I get to make of it anything I want. The problem is holding on to the old, a lot of times the old tradition, the old thing, way things were. And speaking also for myself, when I went through those things the first time, especially having kids, you know, it was like, oh, we're not together, or it's not the same as it was. It's like, yeah, nothing's the same as it was in terms of your family. Everything's, this is a new deal. And you can either make new traditions for yourself, with, you know, or just sit around moping that it's not the way it was. So for me, it's like, I have a Christmas tree in my house. I like that. I decorate it with my kids. I put up lights. I do what I want to do, you know, and then it's become a new thing that wherever, you know, what we do in terms of Christmas Eve or Christmas morning and all that stuff. Anyone else have a comment about holidays, Thanksgiving?
Well, I'm hunting in the morning, and then we get dinner with the family, in-laws, my mother at our house. And then after that, I'm actually packing up and going to hunting camp the rest of the weekend. So I'll be with the boys all weekend.
Sounds good.
Good for you.
What are you doing, Kevin?
Any other stress going on?
What's that?
The other stress, I'm asking the other guys.
Other guys. But...
I'm going to be alone for the first time with just my girlfriend. We've always been around friends or family or somewhere, and this is the first year we're going into Fort Collins to eat at the Moot House. Just her, she and I. Couldn't find any friends who were available to go with us. I was even going to... put the bill. And so that feels weird. And even she said the other night, it's weird. Isn't this weird? Us? Are we going to become those people, the people who go out for Thanksgiving?
Who are those people?
Just 1 year. 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing, Kevin?
I'm going hunting. I'm gonna hunting in the morning. Then we got dinner at our house.
It was you who was hunting. I'm sorry. I didn't see your picture when you're talking.
We're not really cooking though. We got a local barbecue place that smokes turkeys. We did it last year. Saved my wife from cooking the big meal. They do a full turkey, all the stuffing, everything you need. And I just pick it up and keep it warm, and it's a nice place.
Yeah. What about you, Josh or Bruce?
This is Bruce. I
I'm actually going to my wife's grandparents' house, who invited me. Her sister invited me too. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll come. I'll enjoy it. They're good people. I mean, I'll go over there and eat and see my kids and my nephews and nieces, and I'll leave. And my mom's in, you know, I have a situation where my oldest daughter will be, she, you know, she's going to go do it with her mom. And then I have a situation in Springfield where my mom is here. My dad passed away like 9 years ago, and my mom's here with me kind of alone. Source. So I made sure she had somewhere to go tomorrow. But that was a big rub. Just in my situation, my wife hates my mom. And that was part, yeah. I mean, they literally, I've never seen anything like it. So, you know, my mom has her own issues, but she's, his way. So I have to make that, you know, because I promised my dad when he died that I would make sure she was taken care of. And so that is a situation that's difficult to manage, in, you know, in my whole, the big picture of my existence.
So how are you going to show up? What's the frame of mind you're showing up to dinner tomorrow with?
Oh, at her grandparents' house?
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy the meal. I mean.
What are you going to give, Bruce?
What am I going to give? I'm going to give thanks. I like them. You know, I'm going because they asked me to come, and they like me, and I'll talk to them. I'm giving myself. I'll bring a plate or something with me. Mm-hmm. But I'm not there necessarily to try to rescue my relationship with my wife or anything. You know, I really don't have much family here, and so I kind of adopted her. And they don't actually – they all still like me. Like 2 weeks ago, her grandfather, they broke their toilet. So I got the call to go help them fix it, you know. So I went over there and replaced the toilet for them.
Nice.
You know, I'm just going to be friendly, you know.
That's the best thing ever. When I say, what are you going to give? A lot of guys forget that eye contact is one of the biggest gifts in the world. Sustained eye contact and ask a question like, you know, how are you feeling lately? Or if it's to a nephew, what are you working on? Or what are you dreaming of? What do you want to be when you grow up or whatever? But just masculine attention in the form of unbroken eye contact and genuine curiosity is one of the biggest gifts you can give. And it takes no effort at all, except it makes dudes nervous to be that calm, to be that loving and that present. Dudes typically will watch the football game instead of giving their time, attention, or eye contact. And this is one of my biggest learnings. I mean, I still work on it today. Eye contact is one of the hardest things. I gave it as homework to a guy the other day, and he goes, fuck, this is going to be hard. Because for 3 days, I tried looking at her, and she would never look back. But guess what? On the fourth day, she stayed, and we looked, and we had a moment. It was fucking awesome. So, yeah,
that's perfect. To be in the moment, to not be distracted from the other people around you. Like when I was at my kid's school just before this call, I went around to all their little inventions and I looked didn't I, you know, the 9-10-year-old kids and looked them in the eye and they're all into their stuff and they're just showing me all their stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And just to be with somebody and not just be present, like physically, but be present, like be in the moment, be there. It's huge. That eye contact is awesome way to make sure you are.
And I think showing up with an intention to give is so different. I'll just drop a dime on myself that there's some plan. We're going to go over to a friend's house, the four of us, my kids and my ex-wife, and we were invited for dinner. And I was grousing about it. I was being a real, you know, pill about, because I didn't want to go there and I wanted to do something else and I wanted to do this, that, and the other thing. And all of a sudden I realized, well, you're being a shit, Tim. These people invited you over out of the goodness of their hearts. And how about you showed up instead? How about if you showed up in saying, what can I give? So they said, would you bring your guitar? And I was like, absolutely. I'll bring my guitar. We'll sing songs, whatever I can do. That's my intention. And I just completely dropped my little boy, you know, whining about not doing what I wanted to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's a huge thing. And guess what? I was making myself miserable for no reason. Like, why was I doing that? What was the point? And now I feel good about it. So I think that being grateful for what you have, it's really what, you know, Thanksgiving, great gratitude, right? It's what it's all about. Whether or not, Don, you get the day to yourself, so you can just watch football and whatever, you know, then you'd be grateful for that. It's like, okay, wow. Or if I get to go to these people that, you know, I was feeling like, well, I'm an introvert and all this, and I don't want to be around a lot of people. And it's like, hey, what if it's not about you? What would that be like for a change, you know?
What about you, Josh? Josh still with us? Thought he was area code 203.
Hey, this is Bruce again.
I'm the 203.
Josh, I'd like to...
Go ahead, Bruce.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Just and I'm kind of taking over the conversation sometimes, but something that I mentioned, like me and Todd and Brendan and Gil talk, and I tend to, I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm more helping them than I'm getting help in. From a 3,000, you know, 30,000 point of view. But the more that you talk with people who aren't as far along in the process as you are, the more you have to hold yourself accountable. It actually helps me as much or more as it does, I think, help them. And that's why you got.
What do you think Tim and I do this for a living?
Exactly. That's exactly the point. I mean, it helps the counselor as much or more as it helps the counseled. You know, it's really
amen to that.
They say you'll never know something as well as you do when you have to teach it. So becoming a mentor, becoming a coach or something, it just ingrains the truth into your head and reminds you. And we have to constantly coach ourselves out of shit all the time. And I love that 30 minutes versus 3 days of the resiliency. That's what happens. And then guys want to know, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, it's one inch at a time. But it's a realization in the big picture that the only way to get resilient is to stop thinking other people need to shore you up.
Yep. And by the way, that game of inches, I don't think you can see your progress until you've looked back on it. Like if you're measuring every day, it's like, man, another quarter of an inch? Are you kidding me? But then there's a point where you go, where was I a year ago? Last Thanksgiving. Oh my God. Those inches added up and added up and added up, and look where I'm at.
Nice.
Anything else anyone want to? Go ahead.
Along those lines, reading this book, Beyond Success and Failure, they call it the grazing method or something like that.
Yeah, the grazing principle.
The grazing principle, yeah, where you keep doing the right thing in small little amounts, and then you turn around and look back later. It's like watching your kids grow almost, too. Mm-hmm. But you're just in the moment right there, grazing, and then you move to the next little part to graze, and then next thing you know, you're a mile from where you started and you didn't even know it happened. So I would encourage everybody to do, like, I forced myself to get on this call today on my birthday because my mom wants to do something with me and my daughter and all that stuff, but I learned along the way that you do have to discipline yourself to have that. And Steve, you talked about it a lot in your videos, where you have to have that, like, anchor and, like, a call like this. This is something I do. It's non-negotiable. And it helps you practice in other ways of, this is what I do. It's non-negotiable. And in a lot of ways of your life. very, very healthy to discipline yourself to do that.
You got it. That is it.
I'm watching dusk set in Connecticut through Don's. You can't see this, Bruce, but Don's in a vehicle with two big-ass sunroofs in it, and the sun has gone down, and it's going to be dark.
Yeah, it's raining. Yeah, it's been an awesome call. I appreciate the comments, too, about like the game of inches. I have the book, Beyond Success and Failure. I haven't read it yet. I talk a lot about football. I barely watch football. I don't know why I'm using those analogies. Maybe a sales thing or something like that. But I have a stack, right, Steve? I've been about halfway through your book, part of the course. I've been reading that. The relationship manual, about halfway mm-hmm. through that. I got to just finish a book or two. But next up is Beyond Success and Failure and doing a ton of reading. So that's like tomorrow. Getting out in the woods, got my mountain bike. I'm probably going to go hit the trails. The weather's going to be good if, you know, not drinking beer or anything like that and just doing a lot of reading. And the game of inches, the grazing principle, I look forward to diving into that. It's going to be helpful.
Yeah. When you get these ahas, post them in Facebook. It's hard to do a whole book report, but sometimes just one insight from a 300-page book, one little insight is all you need. Put it back on the shelf. Yeah. And I'd love to know what yours are, Don, as you get them, post them. Because
I will. Cool. Yeah, a lot of times it's just like one thing that sticks with you forever, right? You couldn't forget it if you need to, and it's like it's a new life principle, and you bet. I appreciate it.
All right, as we finish up, how about just everyone on the line, one thing you're grateful about today?
Kevin.
I'm grateful that I made this call. I was actually getting ready to leave, and I'm like, oh, crap, the call's going on. So, I mean, I'm grateful that I thought of it and, and able to share with you guys. And, I'm seeing good things. There's a lot of work to do, though, and I'm grateful that I am seeing the good things.
Bruce.
I'm grateful that I made to be 49 years old today.
Happy birthday. We are too.
I have my health. I'm
grazing 1 year at a time.
You know, I got my health. 49. I've never had a major health issue. That's enough.
Fantastic, Don.
Yeah, just a lot to be grateful for. I certainly sounds cliche, right? But I am grateful for this group. Grateful for these calls. Grateful for the stuff on Facebook. I'm just grateful for an opportunity to have like the 2.0 opportunity. I think it's a big thing, the reading material, all the content, a chance to immerse into it. There's no going back. So I'm appreciative and thankful for all that.
Well, I'm grateful for you guys. I'm grateful for this puppy who's chewing my bare foot under the table. He's a 60-pound, six-month-old puppy. Oh, I'm grateful for the snow. I'm grateful that I'm 58 without a major medical problem, Bruce, so you got some work to do. I'm grateful. I'm just grateful for the grit. I'm seeing people grin back through the screen. I'm grateful for fucking internet, man. This is...
Yeah.
Tim?
Yeah, I'm grateful for you men taking the time to be here. I have to say that what you said, Bruce, about by your students you'll be taught kind of thing, and I needed to see your face and hear your voices today and know that being here is a non-negotiable commitment for me as much as it is to be of service too. I'm grateful for that and
tell you how committed we are to this shit. In 3.5 hours, Tim and I have to drive an hour through the snow to go to our men's meetup. Every 2 weeks, we have a live men's meetup in Fort Collins, and it's Tim's night to host it. So I'm going down there, and so we go nonstop. We just can't get enough of this stuff. So,
yeah. Grateful for you guys. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and for those of you who are listening maybe over the weekend or whatever to this, make a gratitude list if you have time, just a few things that you're really grateful and for, and it can change your mindset. It really can. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. Bye-bye.